You have reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave a message after the beep. Beep.
Hi, this is Allie Schumann, and I've just been noticing that pumpkin spice is everywhere. There's highlighter, there's lip balm, and I'm wondering, like, where this started, how much sales revenue can be attributed to pumpkin spice.
Boop.
Hi, this is Allie.
Hey, Allie. Happy end of pumpkin spice season.
Yeah, I mean, you're really cutting it close to the end here.
Allie, it sounded like in your message that you have been tracking pumpkin spice products in the wild.
Well, I have a list.
Can I see the list?
Yeah. I can, text it to you or...
Yeah, text it to me.
Okay.
Okay, here it is. Okay, there's like 20, I don't know, 40 things on it. Some usual suspects.
Yeah. Pretzels, chips, popcorn.
Cheerios.
Pumpkin spice butter that's been around.
Ooh. Hummus. No.
Yeah.
You have one highlighted, which I also appreciated that you highlighted your own list. Salsa.
Yeah.
Marinara sauce?
Yes.
No. That I cannot believe.
I mean, I would have a hard time believing this too, but... pumpkin spice has crossed the line from sweet to savory. You know, hot wings that are pumpkin spice and all these non-food items, including like dog treats, hair dye, lip balm, deodorant, lotion. Yes, pumpkin spice hair dye. Like that is a thing right now. There's a Halloween costume you can dress up as a pumpkin spice latte or just pumpkin spice. Google it.
What? Small child wearing go-go boots and an orange wig. I don't even know how.
Yeah, I know. I know. I am surprised about this as much as you are. You just like start to wonder like how much revenue is actually being generated by this one innocuous little spice. And then you start thinking about, okay, is like, why pumpkin spice?
Right. It's like, why has this flavor gone so big? And how big has it actually gone?
Yeah.
So, Allie, let me introduce you to our PSE, our pumpkin spice expert.
Yes, I guess I'm a pumpkin spice myth buster.
That's food scientist Kantha Shelke.
And I specialize in the science of food ingredients.
And here are the main spice ingredients in pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice is made up of nutmeg, cinnamon, ginger, and cloves.
But that's not all. Like, if you were to make a pumpkin spice latte, you'd need more than what's in your spice cabinet.
Because when you mix up all the spices that you have in your cabinet, what you will get is what the Indians call masala coffee. It would be nothing like the pumpkin spice latte that Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts launch.
What's the difference?
The difference is this. Pumpkin spice flavoring evokes the aroma and the taste of a typical pumpkin pie as it is baking.
Okay, so to achieve the flavor of a pumpkin pie in a latte or a pretzel or a salsa, flavor scientists have to add dozens of additional compounds to those base spices to build out this flavor of a pie. Like butyric acid might give you a butter note. Pyrazines could be added to give you a toasty flavor to remind you of pie crust.
Okay.
So let's get to the question of why this flavor has been so successful. Kantha has a couple theories.
The warmth of the mixture is a big comfort during cooler weather.
I would agree with that. It is warm.
And it's not just in your head, it's in the nerves in your mouth.
There's actually science behind it. There's something called chemathesis.
There are compounds in the pumpkin spice mixture that make you feel physically warm.
There's cinnamon, which has cinnamic aldehyde. And then there are cloves, which have eugenol. There's gingerol in ginger, which is part of pumpkin spice. And it's chemically related to the same hot spices that you get in pepper and red peppers and chili peppers. It hits the trigeminal nerves and hits all the nerves through your gustatory pathway.
And you feel a little bit of a burn.
Yes, a burn, a buzz, yes. That combination of tingling, burning, and then the ease of that pain is what feeling good is all about.
It's like masochism light.
Yes, at a very, very mild level.
At a level that anyone could enjoy.
Even small children.
I will never consume pumpkin spice and not think about that. I mean, because when I have like wasabi or something, clearly you feel that. But with the pumpkin spice, I actually didn't know that there was a chemical creating warmth.
Yeah, so the pain and pleasure of warming spices might account for some of the 50 shades of pumpkin spice appeal. But that might not be it. Here's Kantha's other theory about why this flavor has been so successful.
It's hallmark, it's media, it's clever marketing.
Oh, for just, you know, the nostalgic reasons?
Yeah. It's not a coincidence that pumpkin spice reminds you of family, of the holidays.
Treats, sweets, things that childhood memories are made up of.
That's what pumpkin spice taps into.
And Starbucks hit the magic sweet spot.
But is that magic sweet spot also a cash cow for all these brands that are pumpkin spicifying their products? Here's what we know. Nielsen estimates that Americans bought almost $500 million worth of pumpkin and pumpkin spice flavored products this year.
$500 million to this one spice.
It is amazing. Now that you repeat it, I do feel amazed. For context, cinnamon was much more popular. It did $2.5 billion in sales. But pumpkin spice toppled chai, which generated only $20 million in sales. And none of this includes the gallons of lattes sold.
So it's a lot more, for sure.
So it's a lot more, yeah.
Yeah.
So as you can imagine, brands are on the hunt to find the next pumpkin spice.
Absolutely. That race is on and has been on for a long time. What could be the next PSL?
Allie, ELT could use a nest egg, and I think we can crack this. The next pumpkin spice.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I think the ELT listeners will deliver.
I agree. And that is why we are running an ELT contest for the next big flavor. I feel like you probably have a winner in your pocket. Allie Spice Latte TM.
Yeah, I'm in.
Stick around after the break. Insider tips for creating a flavor blockbuster and professional flavor judges weigh in on ELT's creations. Allie, to help you dream up the next big taste, we wanted to make sure you had every tool, so we got you some expert assistance.
Okay.
Let me introduce you to Bill Aslanidis.
You can call me Bill. So I am the senior flavor chemist at Synergy Flavors in suburban Chicago.
Bill said he works inside a giant spice cabinet.
There's flavor chemicals, there's essential oils.
So if you're dreaming up a new flavor, you need a Bill to execute it for you. And he had some insight into the flavor making process. He said there are three big things he keeps in mind.
Okay.
First one was know your vehicle.
Are you talking about a muffin? Are you talking about a beverage? Are you talking about a protein drink for your workouts? I need you to focus a little bit.
I think a dessert.
Which part of the dessert? Are you doing the whipped cream? Are you doing the icing? Are you doing the ice cream part of it? The crust? The filling? The fruit filling? Is it a dessert drink? Are you doing a cordial? What's the proof?
Bill, I'm going to start crying.
Tell me about it. If you're not focused when you come to us, we have to find a way to focus you.
Okay, Allie, we chose a focus for our contest. The sweet, creamy canvas on which you will paint your flavor masterpiece is ice cream.
Yeah, love ice cream.
Rule number two from Bill, not all flavors go with all foods.
One flavor can work great in an ice cream or a sour cream or a yogurt, and it doesn't work in a beverage.
What flavors go well in an ice cream that wouldn't go well in seltzer?
Typically things with cream notes, strawberry cheesecakes and key lime pie, things where there's a creamy, you know, milky note, not always so hot in beverages because most beverages have to be acidified or carbonated, and it just sometimes that note, it's not really, no one likes acidic butter, you know, in a drink.
I would agree with Bill on that.
Okay, rule number three, you need a wide array of ingredients to achieve flavor nirvana. Like, there are some surprise tastes lurking in our fave flaves, and Bill had an amazing example.
Typically, our sulfur compounds are our worst enemy and our best friend. Rotten egg, skunk, we use them extensively in the tropicals.
Wait, the rotten egg smell ends up in tropical flavors?
Sure. Things like pineapple, guava, passion fruit.
What do they add?
What do they add? They add ripeness. They can add a sourness. They can add a real bouquet. They can add the things like the fuzzy note in peaches.
I never would have guessed that peach fuzz is a sulfur note.
What works at one dilution is a neighborhood clearing chemical in another.
I feel like I could get that tattooed on me.
I wouldn't.
Al, you want to sum it up for us?
Know your vehicle. Not all flavors mix with all products. And, make sure you've got a certain complexity to it.
Yeah. To quote Vanilla Sky, the sweet is never as sweet without the sour. Are you a big Vanilla Sky fan too?
I'm not.
Okay, so Allie, what is your Venus de Milo of ice cream flavors?
I'm going maple. I think maple is next big thing to hit the market.
Just maple.
Yeah, just maple.
It is a contest. You are up against other contenders.
Well, do you not like my pick? You're trying to talk me out of my pick.
I just feel like you could add in a mix in.
Like a pancake?
Like a chocolate chip.
Like a nut?
Like a nut.
I mean, I've had maple ice cream. There's never like a nut in it, though.
We're trying to think outside the box.
Okay, so if I maybe maple and cashew, maybe maple and like a walnut would be really healthy and delicious. Maple pistachio, maple cashew, maple walnut. I mean, I could go maple mixed nuts. I mean, let's just.
Maple mixed nuts.
Yeah. Maple and mixed nuts. See what Bill thinks about that.
We will see what Bill and Kantha think about that. But first, we're going to hear some other flavor entries from ELT listeners.
Yeah, my name is Travis, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Travis, what's your winning ice cream entry?
I think it's got to be brown bread.
Walk me through it. I'm just imagining a brown loaf of bread.
Yeah, so I got this in Ireland, actually. I was in this little road, the road of Dingle. It kind of goes around this peninsula. It's a beautiful drive.
You were on Dingle Peninsula?
Yeah, and there's a little ice cream shop called Murphy's there.
In Dingle?
I mean, yeah, and they have like this brown, like a little brown scoop of ice cream. And then it actually has a sweetness because they've taken like a little piece of the bread crust and they've caramelized them.
Travis, your ice cream entry, your winning entry, revolves around the crusts of bread.
It revolves around the crusts of bread.
This is a real underdog, I think.
Yeah. But, I mean, you think about it, and bread is some of the best flavors we have. I mean, you think about French bread. You think about pasta is basically bread. You think about dumplings, which are made out of bread. Beer is like liquid bread, right?
I can tell you're a bread person.
Yes. My family is mostly made out of bread. If you are what you eat, we are bread people.
My name's Cassie. I'm originally from Alabama, but I currently live in Wheeling, West Virginia.
What's your flavor?
Lemon pepper.
Tell me more.
So, yeah, I was thinking like that sweet, light, lemon-flavored ice cream, but with like cracked peppercorns all in it.
Yes, lemon pepper. I would buy that.
My name is Annie from Atlanta.
Annie, what is your exciting out-of-the-box ice cream flavor?
Corn. Just corn.
I think I might need a little more salesmanship.
All right. So it's just, a nice corn flavor.
So far, I'm getting the idea that it's corn.
Yes, it's definitely corn.
Okay, what does it look like?
Like a white, light yellow kind of color.
Yellow.
Yeah, like a good vanilla, but it's corn.
Annie, are you high right now?
I am not high right now. But if I want some corn flavored ice cream, would go great.
My name is Amelia from Austin, Texas.
What is your winning flavor?
My winning flavor is called Gasoline Rainbow.
Gasoline.
So I own an ice cream shop in Austin, Texas called Sweet Ritual.
Oh, I'm talking to a professional.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, great. So do you make this flavor?
I have made it before. The main ingredient is durian.
Durian, divisive fruit.
So I always tell the customers that it tastes the way that gasoline smells. It really goes between custard, hot socks, sautéed onions, and kind of the gas leak.
Why build an ice cream around durian?
I think that, in my experience, I can't stop eating it because I just want to figure out what all those flavors are because it's really, really interesting.
Amelia, this is a psychologically complicated flavor.
I know, and I don't make it that often.
My name is Rachel, and I am from Brooklyn.
Hey, neighbor.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell me about your flavor.
My flavor is, I guess you could call it Juicy Fruitzel.
Juicy Fruitzel?
Yeah. Juicy fruit gum and pretzel combo.
Gum and pretzels. Not
juicy fruit
an...
gum. Okay. Not just regular gum. It's juicy fruit gum.
Juicy fruit gum and pretzels. Not a combination I would have thought of.
Yeah. Well, it has a history. So when I was a little kid, my mom would give me a half a stick of Juicy Fruit gum. And I was eating a pretzel and somehow it kind of got messed up together. And it was delicious.
You know what? I think there's something, there's like a taboo in here that makes it exciting.
The swallowing the gum?
Yeah, the mixing the gum with a salty, crumbly snack.
Yeah. And it's salty pretzels. You can't do it with unsalted pretzels.
Who would eat an unsalted pretzel?
Oh, I've known people who do.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Thomas. Je suis Suisse, je vis au Canada.
Bonjour, Thomas.
Hi, Flora.
Thank you for doing English, because that's all the French I know. So tell me about your flavor.
So I live in Toronto. It's December. The weather is pretty cold and dreary. And I immediately thought back about how nice it is when like the summer, it's warm out, and then you have a little bit of rain, and everything is so fresh after the summer rain, and then there's this smell.
So the flavor would be summer rain.
Yeah, summer rain, or averse d'été, if you want to be fancy and French.
Yeah, I mean, I think we do, for sure. But do you think this is a mass hit?
Hey, you know, now I feel like nowadays you always, for example, for chips, you always see those very weird, even like candy cane flavored Pringles or something like that. So if there's a market for candy cane flavored Pringles, why shouldn't there be one for summer rain flavored ice cream?
Those are our entries, ELT listeners, as usual, thinking outside the cone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have flavor scientists Bill and Kantha here. They are back and ready to judge.
Sure, as long as nobody gets mad.
All right, let me give you I want you to pick a top three and then a winner. So just to remind you, we have brown bread, corn, gasoline rainbow with durian, lemon pepper, juicy fruitzel, maple and mixed nuts, and summer rain. And again, we are looking for the next big thing in ice creams. Top three? Do you want to deliberate?
I wrote down here, my first one is corn, my second one is lemon pepper, and I like the idea of the playing with the durian thing, just for curiosity's sake.
I had the exact same list.
Okay, so decode the thinking. Why corn?
I think that the next flavor in ice creams is actually going to be vegetables. So sweet corn ice cream, I think, would be lovely.
What stood out about lemon pepper?
What people don't realize is that pepper isn't just about heat. Some of the pepper compounds that to provide a piney kind of note. So teaming it up with another citrus really could go very well.
And why the durian?
As long as you're not dealing with the aroma elements, the creamy, pulpy center of durian, I think might actually serve very well.
Huh. All right, so who's our winner?
The corn. Just corn. I'm also thinking...
Just corn.
Yes.
Yeah, I think the corn. I think it would translate well. You know, you can do great things with the color. I just think it's got a lot of potential.
So it would be just beautiful if they took, for example, those variegated colored Indian corn. I think it would look wonderful, almost like a, what do they call them, stained glass window.
Which, do you have any name suggestions?
See, that's the tough part, is I think if you think you're going to get through a marketing department with the word corn, you haven't met too many people in marketing, I don't think.
I was thinking of Ice Cream Amaze.
Thanks to everyone who sent ice cream entries, and congratulations, Annie, on our big winner, Just Corn. Also, if you've been thinking about this for the last 12 minutes, I just want to say that some people pronounce it this way.
Marinara sauce. Marinara sauce has four ingredients, and yet it is such a versatile.
And if you have a burning factual question or just a monosyllabic,
stick it to him and then dig a new hole.
Monosyllabic, brilliant idea that will change the world. Give us a ring, 833-RING-ELT.
Every Little Thing is produced by Aaron Reese, Phoebe Flanagan, Annette Heist, and Flora Lichtman, with help from Nicole Pasulka and Doug Barron. Our consulting editors are Caitlin Kenny and Ian Chillog. Dara Hirsch scored and mixed this episode. Thanks to Michelle Gillespie of Spins Research and Genevieve Aronson of Nielsen Research. Corn, corn, corn. Just corn. Goodbye.